Pro Bowl vote is here. An awesome Pro Bowl starts with awesome players, and your vote helps decide who gets a spot on the AFC and NFC roster. Show your love, cast your vote, and make sure your favorite players make it to the 2020 Pro Bowl. Vote today and be entered to win exclusive prizes at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, along with the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. It's nice to be back after being on the inactive list for a year or two.
Glad to see you back.
Yeah, my kid learned to share, namely his stomach flu virus.
Nice.
So that's not great. But also, happy Thanksgiving Eve, fellas.
Yeah, you too, man.
We are, at this point, less than 24 hours away.
What's crazy is that we're less than a month from Christmas.
Arguably.
Thanksgiving is so late this year. Typically, like, I put all my Christmas stuff up, like, Thanksgiving night. And in past years, it's already up. But now it's, you know, the 27th, 28th tomorrow. Yeah. And it's still not up there. So, And you're starting to see all the Christmas shows on TV now.
Yeah.
We're officially here.
Well, Christmas stuff was already put out in the stores in like November
5th. I know, that's crazy, yeah.
Because we can't stop consuming in this country. But I think we're going to put up some decorations this weekend too. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Yeah. I've seen commercials with, you know, with luxury cars with ribbons on them, like on November 1st.
Yeah. I think the worst was, I think it was maybe Home Goods. I don't know if people have Home Goods all over the place, but in LA we have Home Goods. And they literally like the day after Halloween, all the Christmas stuff.
Oh, Home Goods is a perfect place for a breeding ground of like mass consumerism.
Oh,
and the I mean, obviously they're a decor store, so
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they've got to get their
everything.
Stuff.
Like if you don't have Home Goods where you are, you probably have like a Pier 1 or something
like that.
It's,
yeah,
it's pretty similar. Yeah, think about it like that. So, we got plenty to talk about. There is quite a bit of news to go through. We'll of course have a Thanksgiving Day preview because we got three games tomorrow. So, if you haven't already, you know, start thinking about your lineup decisions because this is the final week of the fantasy regular season in a lot of leagues. I know in some leagues the playoffs have actually started. I've gotten hit up from friends who are actually already in the playoffs in their leagues. But for a lot of you, the regular season ends this week, so we'll look at some of the Thanksgiving Day games. We'll talk to Jeff Ratcliffe as well, get his thoughts on maybe who the fantasy MVP should be, what we should do with the Rams, and so on and so forth. But before we do any of that, we'll go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Yeah, we're all running around trying to prepare for Thanksgiving and bake and cook stuff, and it got me thinking, is there a dish that you guys, like, do you guys cook a lot? And if you do, is there, like, a dish where, like, oh, I'm going to knock your socks off with this, like, what's your specialty?
Well, I've only once cooked a full meal. But generally I make a pretty good, I've refined my sweet potato pie,
it's so funny
recipe.
To say that. This is not what I'm making.
Cause like so I took my mom's recipe, which I always loved as a kid. And I've sort of, I feel like enhanced upon it by putting a kind of a melted pecan topping on top of it.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
So I've done that, but, I will say this, our pal, friend of the show and NFL media superstar, Matt Money Smith, mm-hmm. A few years ago, gave me his recipe for brining
the turkey. Yeah.
Which, I had cooked the turkey before, but when I brined it with his recipe, it just kind of went next level.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, you got to brine your turkey. Yeah. I mean, that's the
But you have to have a big, giant...
Oh, I've got a giant pan. I got like a
bucket.
I got like
something.
A big 5-gallon, pot, basically.
Yep.
I've been telling everyone you got to start deep frying the turkey.
I've done that too.
It's night and day. I mean, the difference, like, you have the oven roast one. I mean, I'm sure people can cook it the right way where it doesn't taste like sawdust, but you put that thing like outside, especially back east,
Christmas
like in the
vacation.
Peanut oil and just like smelling it, like as the bird's cooking, you're out there with like, that's something.
I load up the bird with apple and lemon and you put it in that bag and it like cuts the cook time in half, and the bird is just so juicy, man. It's really good.
I shouldn't say I've done the deep fried turkey. I've had deep fried turkey. It did kind of change my life.
I've had it once too, and it was amazing.
It changed my life.
Yeah, it's very good.
And before we go any further, we have to mention that today is the anniversary of Rocky Balboa knocking out Ivan Drago.
Oh, that's right.
November 27th, 1985.
Weren't
even born
yet. Is that the day the movie came out?
No.
Or is that the day the fight happened in the film?
Right, that's when the fight happened, exactly. Remember?
Right. Yeah. I just remember
Maybe it was when it came out because didn't he fight him on Christmas?
I think it was on Christmas.
It was on Christmas, so it must have been when the movie came out.
Right.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing that movie in the theater and, like, knowing that Apollo Creed.
That's right, because Rocky said, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Where is it? It's in Russia. That's right. I remember that now.
So, happy birthday.
Get that in there.
Happy anniversary, Rocky 4.
That right? was one of the only movies. And now, since I moved to California, things have changed because, like, any good movie, people, like, stand up and clap. In California, that doesn't happen typically, at least in Connecticut. One of two movies before I moved to California where people actually stood up and clapped when Rocky knocked out Drago. The other, when Emperor Palpatine was thrown down that shaft by Darth Vader. One of the two.
Oh, that's funny.
Two of my most memorable movie-going moments.
Those are kind of seminal 80s movies moments, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
All right.
Ages me too, doesn't it, Graham?
Just a little bit, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, let's get away from that. Let's do some news.
Through the news.
We'll start in Pittsburgh. James Conner says, quote, it'll be a little longer before he's ready to play. He's dealing with that shoulder injury. Last week when he didn't play, we all thought, well, hey, this means good things for Jalen Samuels and he's going to get all these touches. And then someone named Kareth White started getting a whole lot of touches. And then Benny Snell kind of slid in there. I know, Graham, you have affectionately named him Benny Snail. Because he's not the most fleet of foot person out there.
Benny Snell.
I mean, so does this mean, Graham, that we're going to see more Benny Snell this week? Do we go with Kareth White? Do we fade Jalen? I don't even know what to do now.
No, I just think you completely avoid this backfield. I mean, I know Benny Snell will be picked up quite a bit this past week. And for good reason. I mean, he's obviously coming off a 20-carry game. The Steelers want to try to establish the run with Duck Hodges, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, this is a bad Steelers team that we've been really trying to invest in for fantasy all year, and it's just all made us sad. So
yeah.
I'm avoiding this
whole
backfield
here. I would say
this,
too. Like, if you put in your waiver claims and, like, you tried to drop Jalen Samuels and you weren't able to drop him, I wouldn't necessarily go out and just cut him. Unless there's somebody really hot that you want to go out and get, because we don't know what's going to happen here. We just don't. So sit back and wait. Right now, obviously, you have to project Snail as the better fantasy option.
Sure.
But who the heck knows what's going to happen? Yeah. And with James Conner, would either of you guys be shocked if he didn't play again this season?
No.
Not
really. Pittsburgh's playing nothing. And
here's the thing.
They're sixth seed in the wild
card. Yeah, they're still in the playoff race. Wildly.
They're not going anywhere.
I mean that old axiom, if the season ended today, they're a playoff team.
They're not good.
And Mike Tomlin, for what it's worth, he's never going to lie down. And I don't think James Conner will either, because he's been a Warrior this year already. But I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if he's less than 100% if they don't give him a try. Jalen Samuels was demoted last week. I mean, straight up demoted. So
For what reason, though, I wonder?
He can't run the ball inside the tackles. He's never been that guy. He was never that guy at NC State. He was like a Swiss Army knife type player to play fullback, play tight end in NC State. He's never going to be an inside runner in the NFL.
I'll tell you, though, man. I mean, he was averaging nearly 16 fantasy points since last year in games where Conner didn't play.
Yeah.
He was a real asset. Now, we'll see.
Yeah. In Indianapolis, Marlon Mack, they've already said he will not play this week as he continues to deal with the broken hand. It's weird. I feel like the reports on him have sort of alternated between he could be back in a couple weeks, where there was talk that he might go on IR with his broken hand. It seems to have fluctuated. But, Fabs, I guess this means Jonathan Williams is the guy there. I mean, we thought that with Jordan Wilkins coming back, there'd be a committee. But last week, it was pretty much all Jonathan Williams. It looks like he's the guy.
He had 29 touches. And that was, and Graham and I talked about this on Monday, was that a lot of us got that wrong. Because when Jordan Wilkins was taken off the injury report and ahead of Williams on the depth chart, you're looking at, well, a three-headed monster. Is Wilkins going to end up being the guy? Let's sort of sit back and wait and see. And suddenly Wilkins was invisible. Williams got all the love. And now he's got the Titans, who over the last 4 weeks have allowed 5 rushing touchdowns and the 5th most fantasy points to running backs. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Williams is in the RB2 conversation this week.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely with you on that. I screwed up the whole Jordan Wilkins things last week, too. And I think
we all did.
Yeah, I think everybody did. So I think it's okay because, I mean, Jonathan Williams was out there on a shocking amount of waiver wires this week in a lot of my leagues, which is pretty surprising. But maybe it wasn't because we were all wrong this past week. Yeah, I mean... I'm not expecting 30 touches again this coming week, but he's definitely a solid RB2 play.
Other running back news, Devontae Freeman got in a full practice on Tuesday as he's dealing with a foot injury. Looks like he is trying to work his way back for the Falcons. They play on Thanksgiving night against the Saints, the final of the three games on Thanksgiving Day. Look, Brian Hill, that obviously didn't work out. The thing about Devontae Freeman is, you know, you like the potential. You know that when he's there, he's going to be the workhorse back. But, I mean, Graham, the schedule is sort of up and down. And the Falcons offense, I mean, Matt Ryan has sort of been a mess the last month or so. I mean, it's nice having him back, but it's hard for me to get optimistic about him right now.
Well, the Falcons haven't been able to run the ball all year long, and I think that's just going to be a trend that continues here. I mean, they were down, they would get down super, super big in the beginning of the year and just basically neglect the run. And when they have been in positive game scripts, they still haven't ran the ball particularly well. So I'm with you. It's very hard to get excited about Devonta Freeman, but the good news is he's been getting a ton of check down work in the passing game this year, which has really bolstered his fantasy value, and there's nothing behind him on that depth chart. I mean, they know Brian Hill and these other guys behind him, Quadri Allison,
right.
They're not anything. So I think we can at least fully expect Freeman to play a big snap share on Thursday night. We should also note that Julio Jones has been not practicing. He did not practice Monday or Tuesday with a shoulder injury. We'll have to see what he does today, but that obviously would be a huge, huge injury news for that game.
No doubt. Gerald Everett right now day-to-day with a knee injury. I mean, Faz, we've talked about the Rams offense, and we'll talk about it with Jeff Ratcliffe as well. It has been just a train wreck for a while now, most of the season. But this is a great spot. It's a tight end against the Cardinals. So, like, why can't we have nice things?
Maybe we can. Maybe Tyler Higbee.
Maybe Tyler Higbee?
I mean, if Everett's out, I'd stream Higbee if I needed a tight end. Hell, I mean, this has not just been the elite tight ends, okay? T.J. Hockenson went off against this team, and let's not kid ourselves. He is not an elite fantasy tight end.
Brett Ellison scored a touchdown again.
Ross Dwelly. I mean, like, he is not an elite tight end. So
T.J. Hockenson's only good game this year came against the
Cardinals. In week one. And so, hell, anybody. So keep tabs on that. And obviously that's going to be a later game. So I would assume, because it's being played in Arizona. So keep tabs on the status of Everett. But if Everett goes into this week as a game time decision or questionable or worse, suddenly Higbee's in play all fantasy
and
leagues.
And I'm sure he's out there in a lot of leagues. It is most of them. A 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific start. So, so you will have time to kind of make that decision.
Yeah. Speaking of the Cardinals, things are going to get even more
Chase
confusing.
Edmonds expected to be back against the Rams this week. I mean, I'm still going with Kenyon Drake. I'm still
right. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean, that's the only guy that you can trust, right?
He's still got to be the guy, right?
I guess so. I mean, it's David Johnson. I mean, we have no idea where he's at health-wise. It's impossible to know.
I would just like for the Cardinals to say, you know what? He's not right. Let's just sit him down. Let him get healthy.
And maybe getting the extra week off through the bye will help, and hopefully it will. But at the same time, we have no idea where DJ's health is at. You cannot play him this weekend. And I'm with you. I think Kenyon Drake really is the only option here.
Yeah. You know, I know that Cliff Kingsbury has said they want to get all three backs into the rotation. They want to get them all some work. It just doesn't really seem to make sense when you have one guy who's been productive for you, who's looked good. Why try to force feed the other guys just because?
There's a real chance DJ is their number three back this weekend.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Very real chance that Drake and
he's my sit of the week at running back. I can't trust him. And there's going to come a point, like, if he doesn't really play many snaps or get many touches this week, there will come a time where he's going to end up getting cut in fantasy leagues, because you can't hold on to a guy who's worthless during the fantasy playoffs. You just can't do it. If he's third on the depth chart right now, what are you holding on to him for? Just name?
Pretty much.
Right? Pretty much, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
The good news is, as we all know, fantasy football is a war of attrition, and everybody's RB2 spot is pretty, pretty bad if you're at this point right now. So if you did lose DJ, it's not the end of the world.
You're not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone, because everybody else's RB2 spot is pretty bad right now.
Pretty bad. A quarterback change in Cincinnati. I guess another quarterback change in Cincinnati. The Bengals have decided they've seen enough of Ryan Finley, and they're going to go back to Andy Dalton in week 13. I mean, look, on its face, this just feels like a rookie head coach who does not want to go winless in his first year, so they're going to go back to the veteran that at least gives them a chance to win football games. Because you know, the season is shot for the Bengals. This just feels like Zach Taylor like just needs to get a win is what this is. But for fantasy, this seems like good news, right? I mean, it's good news for Tyler Boyd. It's good news for Joe Mixon.
Is it good news for A.J. Green?
I don't think A.J. Green's coming back.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
I mean, By the way, I don't know that it's good news for Joe Mixon. He averaged more points with Finley under center than
because they couldn't throw the ball.
10 points a game with Dalton under center, 14.1 with Finley. Yeah. And he had 17-plus three times.
I think it helps both of them just because the scoring opportunity should be back up. Tyler Boyd always averaging over 10 targets per game with Dalton in the lineup. And, you know, I think a little bit of Joe Mixon's bad production in those games was just the fact they were getting destroyed in some of them. I mean, they just had no chance at establishing any sort of the run. And the Bengals offensive line did a really poor job in the beginning of the season. They picked it up a little bit. I think... I mean,
could this be called the trap game for the Jets?
I actually kind of like that.
Maybe.
Right. I mean, like coming off of like a huge win at home against the Raiders who got caught up in a trap game against the Jets. Now the Jets are going to play the Bengals. The Jets are, you know,
it would be very Jetsian to lose this game.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm just laughing because Dalton got benched on his birthday.
Yep.
And now it's kind of like a belated weird birthday present where he's like going to get another chance to maybe show that he can get a job somewhere.
Happy Thanksgiving. Here's a chance to play again.
There's a good chance Andy Dalton will be the quarterback of the Bengals next year.
I don't expect that to be the case. By the way, and this AJ Green
thing. Joe Burrow.
Bears.
Oh, might be Joe Burrow. That'd be interesting. By the way, you mentioned AJ Green too. I saw a story that he is considered day to day, and I'm like,
aren't we all?
Why are we playing this game?
You're not day to day when you haven't practiced at all, basically all year, or played in a game.
Like, why are we doing this charade right now? I don't really understand it, but fine. If that's what makes you happy, telling us he's day to day, then so be it. Last bit of news: the Jaguars say they are sticking with Nick Foles as their starting quarterback. They've lost a couple of games, and it's really kind of been not great since he's come back. Although I don't know that it's completely on Foles.
Their defense was awful last week.
Right.
I mean, Derrick Henry crushed them.
They got run over by Derrick Henry. I know the offense wasn't particularly great against the Titans, but the week before, I mean, I thought Foles threw the ball pretty well.
Okay, but here's the true test. Show of hands here. Eddie, you're included. If you need a quarterback this week, they're playing the Bucs. How many of us are starting Nick Foles?
I would consider it.
I would definitely consider
it. Yeah, I'd absolutely consider it.
All four of us raised the hands. I know this is audio, so.
Luckily, I have like Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott.
Oh,
a bunch
excuse
of leagues, so
me.
I mean, I'm just going to say.
Excuse me, first world fantasy
I don't have to worry about this.
For those of us, you know, who are like sitting on a Matt Ryan who hasn't really done much and like has the Saints, like. Yeah, man, Nick Foles is in the mix this week.
Yeah, for sure. He absolutely is. Yeah,
yep,
for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you've got Carson, I'd start him over Wentz, I think. Unless Wentz gets his weapons back, then I would think, okay, maybe I'm going to stick with Wentz. But they're like sort of on the same tier this week.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan versus Foles is really interesting now. You got
screw run. I'm done with him.
Yeah.
Listen, and you know what? It would be 2019 fantasy football season for Ryan to go out and have a monster game against the Saints.
Of course it would, when everybody's pretty much given up.
After last week, everyone loved him against the Buccaneers, and he was awful and ended up getting benched for Matt Schaub.
Yeah. I can't do it this week with Ryan.
I can't.
Yeah.
And which means he's going to have 25.
Just kidding. Of course he will.
He will.
There you go. There you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Well, we are joined, as we have been multiple times this season, by our pal Jeff Ratcliffe from Pro Football Focus. Nice enough to step away from his Thanksgiving Day preparations, which probably actually involved looking over stats the same way we are. But he's going to spend a few minutes with us here to talk some fantasy football. Jeff, we appreciate it, man. How you doing today?
Very good. Week 13. It's always weird when the bye weeks are over. You have all these choices at your disposal, but also fantasy playoffs coming up here. So it's exciting times for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we asked about, actually probably a few weeks ago, it was like early in the season, we asked who your vote for the fantasy MVP was. And there were still a few choices at the time. So now here we are in week 13. Is Lamar Jackson officially our fantasy lord and savior for 2019? Or is there some other options out there now?
I still think there are two other options that we can include in the conversation. Christian McCaffrey and Michael Thomas. McCaffrey is almost matchup proof. And I say almost because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for some crazy reason, have been the only team who's figured out how to stop him. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if Carolina is playing good, they're playing bad, or anywhere in between. He's an absolute monster. And then Michael Thomas, I don't think I've ever seen a fantasy floor this high of any wide receiver on a consistent basis. Wide receiver, we know there's volatility. You know, that just happens from week to week. But Thomas just keeps going out. And I know I've talked about him with you guys on some of the previous appearances here. It's unreal. It is absolutely unreal what he is doing. So I don't think it's a slam dunk, but the difference, of course, between McCaffrey, who was what, a top three pick in basically every league, Thomas, who was what, a top 10 pick, top 12 pick in every league, is Lamar Jackson was an 11th or 12th round pick. So I think that does tip the scales for him.
So if you watched that Monday night game, and I know you did, it's basically just sort of a microcosm of the Rams. Like the from 2018 Rams to 2019 Rams, it's a 180. They're playing Arizona this week. And me personally, I can't even put Jared Goff in my top 15 quarterbacks because I watch him and he looks awful. They have so many problems on that offense right now. Are we sort of done? Maybe we should have already been done, but are we sort of done trusting any of the Rams' main offensive skill position players?
I think you can still trust Cooper Kupp this week. He's backslid, obviously, over the last, three games really here. But it is a matter of the matchup. You know, you look at Arizona, they're giving up 8.3 yards per attempt, 315 and a half net passing yards per game. So even in this matchup here, you know, where you're not confident in Jared Goff, I think you still do roll out Cooper Kupp and hope that he rebounds. And the thing about him out of the slot is there's absolutely no threat of a Patrick Peterson shadow, even though that's not as intimidating as it once was. If anybody's going to get that shadow, I do think it's going to be Brandon Cooks. So that opens things up even more there for Jared Goff.
How worried should we be about Chris Carson? All of a sudden, you know, we see Rashad Penny getting all these carries last week. Now there's talk that Rashad Penny could be back in the mix again this week. I mean, is this time to be a little bit worried now?
Well, yeah, for a while there, you kind of locked him in as just an every week RB1, one of the rare workhorse 20-plus touch a game guys. And I don't know if that's going to be the case if he keeps fumbling here. Now, Penny is sneaky. So if you picked up Penny this week, my advice was, hey, you're going to pick him up, but you're not going to start him, right? Because we really don't know what is exactly going to happen in that backfield. And a fascinating stat on Rashad Penny. So if you look at his rushing yards, he hasn't cracked 300. He's right under 300 rushing yards for the season. But over half of those yards have come on five runs. He has five runs of 15 plus. We saw the long touchdown against the Eagles. So basically almost all of his or a good chunk of his yards have come on just those five plays. So I don't know, you know, if there's a lot of juice there just yet, but I did add him in a couple leagues just because if they flip the script here and they all of a sudden give him more of the carries, we know there's a lot of potential in that offense. The problem, of course, with Penny is historically we've seen it. He loves to reverse the field or try and bounce runs outside, and you can get away with that at San Diego State. You cannot get away with that in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. I watched a bit of Penny's carries last night, actually, and I thought he had the same juice, same athleticism that we liked coming out of college for him. But switching gears a little bit to players we added this past week, is Ryan Tannehill not getting enough love as a streaming play this week?
I think he just never gets enough love. You know, even in his time with Miami, he wasn't a slam dunk fantasy option, but there were times where you could certainly use him. I mean, he had a couple 4,000-yard passing seasons, and it was right before we've seen this influx of all these quarterbacks who have this great ability to run. And Tannehill's sneaky good in that area. Obviously showed it last week. I think you could get away with it. Now, I wouldn't get too cute with Tannehill and try and stream him over, you know, some of your more premium streamer options. But I also don't mind the play. If you're looking forward here and you're in one of those leagues where you can't add during the playoffs or where your quarterback waiver wire is picked over and you were able to land Tannehill, I don't mind rostering two quarterbacks in the fantasy playoffs just in case. If you have the bench spots, if you only have four bench spots, obviously you can't do it. But just in case, because the upside is very real. He's a top 12 fantasy quarterback since week five, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But he's got that juice and certainly is a streamer option.
Yeah, and he's also got a really good schedule, too, over the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. So Tannehill's a guy that we've been talking about picking up for weeks and weeks, and he's been great. So now this is the biggest question that we're going to offer you this week, okay? And a lot of what our opinions about you are going to come from your answer. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Oh, man. You know, so I've championed macaroni and cheese.
Oh no,
that sounds excellent.
It's 2019.
It's chalk, but it's
PPR
the right chalk.
PPR is now standard, and standard is now non-PPR, and mac and cheese is now the best side.
The correct answer is whole cranberry sauce. Ooh. Come on. What?
No, I feel like mac and cheese. I feel like mac and cheese is a pretty solid answer.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a pretty solid answer.
I'm old school, man.
Especially
you gotta
with cranberry
go mashed
sauce.
Potatoes and gravy, and you got to go green beans, and you got to go cranberry sauce. Whole cranberry sauce, homemade.
Ooh. You're straight out of a Norman Rockwell play.
Mac and cheese. That's what my kid eats for lunch, like, you know, twice a week.
It's delicious.
What do I want that for on Thanksgiving?
Because it's delicious.
It's awesome.
I mean, like, I don't see a problem with having good food any time of the year.
Eddie, you're young. You're going to agree with me.
I'm mac and cheese all the way.
Oh, my. But mac and cheese is something you have all the time. You can have it all the time. Cranberry sauce is not something you have all the time.
Cranberry sauce is something you make and you leave on the table and no one at the party touches it.
It's wonderful. All right. Sorry.
Jeff, I appreciate your opinion. I appreciate your thoughts. I feel like you're spot on with this, you know? That's why we have you on this show.
Next time you come out to L.A., we'll go out and get mac and cheese someplace.
Oh, man. Jeff, as always, let folks know where they can find your stuff.
Absolutely. Over at PFF.com. Of course, on Twitter and Instagram at Jeff Radcliffe as well. And then on SiriusXM, we're on Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern, including Thanksgiving. Oh. So get your mac and cheese ready with me on air in the background there.
Now I'm not listening.
Hey, Jeff, we appreciate it. We appreciate you having coming on with us pretty much all season long. Hopefully we'll talk to you again before the fantasy season is out. But have a great Thanksgiving and be good, man.
Happy holidays,
you
pal.
Too.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to Jeff Radcliffe for his time. Always appreciate him stopping in to give his thoughts on the fantasy football world at large. All right. Thanksgiving Day preview. We've got a trio of games on Thanksgiving. Of course, you get the two traditional ones. The Lions get a home game. The Cowboys get a home game. And Faz, I'm sure you know the history of this, right?
Yes.
How it happened. Basically, like, the league said we should play a game on Thanksgiving. Nobody wanted it. The Cowboys were like, hey, we'll do it.
Yep.
And then it turned out to be a huge moneymaker.
Huge.
And so the Cowboys kept doing it. The Lions jumped in shortly thereafter. They were like the two teams that actually volunteered to do it because nobody else wanted to.
Yeah, I've got like a very long streak. Ever since I think I'm 8, I've watched every single Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game. Every single, actually, probably every Thanksgiving.
Well, this is going to be a good
football
game. I'm really.
No, it's not. I want us to lose. I don't want Jason Garrett to be my coach anymore.
You don't want the clapper?
We went through this. No, I'm done. I'm done. We went through this on Monday. I love the Cowboys. I want to beat the
my
Bears.
My Jason Garrett impersonation.
I want to beat the Bears and I want to beat the Rams. I want to lose all the rest of the game.
Have you ever seen Jason Garrett on the sideline not clapping or just looking like he has no idea what's going on in the game?
No.
Yeah.
No, those are pretty much his two modes.
He has two states.
Those are his
clapping
modes
here long
in
enough,
bewilderment.
I don't want another Marvin Lewis situation. Get him the hell out. Out. And Jerry's finally getting just like fed up with it.
Yeah, I actually am waiting for the day that Jerry gets so fed up that he just decides he's going to coach the team himself.
Whatever.
That Jerry just comes down from the booth, snatches the headset off of Jason Garrett, and is like, you know what? I'm going to call the play.
If we lose this game, which we will, because the Bills actually are a decent team. If we lose this game, like, Garrett gets canned after Thanksgiving?
I doubt it.
I don't think so either.
No.
Why?
Because here's the thing. Because, like, the Eagles are floundering around in the division. Like, this division is still up for grabs.
It's the Cowboys' division. I mean, the Eagles.
But the division stinks.
Yeah.
It's not that we're good. That's why I don't want it to happen.
Jason Garrett is not going anywhere because Jerry Jones needs his guy he can tell what to do.
No, dude, listen. Jerry Jones is not getting any younger, okay? All right. You know, I feel like if I'm on the back nine, Jerry's on the back three. All right. If he wants to win a Super Bowl, he needs to get Jason Garrett out and get somebody else in. This team has too much talent to be this bad.
You know what's
gonna, I digress.
You know what's going to happen, and this is going to be hilarious, is that, you know, the Cowboys will win the division, somehow pull it together in the playoffs and get like to the NFC championship game. And offer just enough hope for Jason Garrett to come back for another year. That's
bound to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
Why do you got to hurt me? I thought we were friends.
Because this is just how things work. That's it. Anyway, let's start with the Bears and the Lions in Detroit. An NFC North matchup between two long-term rivals. And my first question to you, Fabs, is what is a David Blau?
I was going to ask you the same
Blau.
Thing.
Blau. Blau. I think it's Blau.
David Blau?
I have no idea.
I don't know how
I
to
pronounce it.
B-L-O-U-G-H. he is the Lions' third-string quarterback who could potentially be a starter this week because Jeff Driskel's dealing with a hamstring
injury. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't hard enough to start Kenny Golladay now, I mean, Marvin Jones, there's not going to be anybody that you're going to be able to trust. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, Driskel popped up with that hamstring. Stafford's not coming back anytime soon.
You know it's bad.
You may not be able to start any Lions this week.
I was just about to say, you know it's bad when we're like wanting Jeff Driskel to play.
I know.
So we can actually have a chance to maybe start any of these dudes.
I mean, like Scarborough, I mean, like maybe a flex starter because the Bears have been bad against the run. But I mean, like...
This is a huge spot for Bears D, right? I mean, they have to just go out and
if Driskel's out, yes. I mean, regardless, they're a top 10 play.
Yeah, if David Blah's out there, then this is just a huge spot for the Bears. This game is really gross for fantasy, though.
It's awful, right?
Really, really gross for fantasy.
I like David Montgomery, though. Flex? No. I mean, yeah. Who's the Lions?
The touches are always there.
I know. So, like, I feel like he can get in the end zone against him. He's a flex. I'm not saying he's top 10.
Yeah. The running backs, I can kind of make a play for, right? Because we've seen you can sort of run on the Bears a little bit, and both Scarborough seems to have become the guy there in Detroit. David Montgomery has some opportunities potentially run the football there for the Chicago Bears. I mean, ideally, because, you know, you've got Trubisky on one side and Blau on the other, maybe. That both coaches just decide to run the football and this game's over in like 2 hours, right?
Please?
Let's just let this.
Yeah, thank you.
You know,
let's have our. It's going to be 17-6 inevitably.
I mean,
we can either do it one. We can do it two ways. You can make it 17-6 and you run the ball on every play and it speeds by, or you can make it the grossest game ever and make it 17-6.
I mean, I will be probably flipping between, you know, this game and what the National Dog Show is usually on right at the same time, which is always sort of.
What about the Thanksgiving Day parade?
The parade as well.
I heard they might have to cancel it though.
Yeah, because
be some
the weather's
wind
bad.
And rain
yeah,
grossness up in New York.
You know, and this is an aside. I know we're not supposed to be talking about this, but whatever. I've become annoyed by the fact that the parade has just become a lot of musical numbers now. Like, I like the balloons and
I like the bands and stuff like that.
Like, I don't really care about the cast of Mamma Mia.
I'm with you on that.
Right. It's not Thanksgiving unless I see the Woody Woodpecker float. I mean, come on, man. I want to see that giant balloon.
I need that.
Whatever.
All right.
So, yeah, Matt Patricia did say that Driskel's hamstring was, quote, pretty sore. Limited tag for the Lions walkthrough. And Patricia did not basically say that Driskel was going to play or not play. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Although we have seen a few third string quarterbacks actually do pretty well. The Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last year, Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not saying that David Blah is going to do anything.
Here's the difference.
But
Nick Mullins played with Kyle Shanahan.
I know.
Right.
David Blah. Yeah.
Blah.
There's no Kyle Shanahan in Detroit right now.
I just don't. Yeah.
I'm trying to put a good spin on something that looks really
You know what's going to happen is Bo Scarborough is going to get like 25 carries. He's going to have 80 yards. Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones are going to disappoint us, and we can just move on.
This guy, Blah, went to Louisiana. That was Driskel that went to
Louisiana. Yeah, Jeff Driskel went to Louisiana.
Where
Tech.
Did where
Purdue?
He was at Purdue.
He went to Purdue.
Driskel was previously at Florida, then he had to transfer out his last year.
Maybe he's the next Drew Brees.
yeah. I would tell you this.
I'm kidding.
There has been there's a long gap between like Purdue quarterbacks that made a mark in the NFL. You went Bob Greasy to Drew Brees.
Right.
Now, if you're a Purdue fan, you're hoping you don't have to wait another 30 years to get another productive NFL quarterback.
Right.
I don't know. Are we done talking about this game?
Yeah.
Sure.
Is there anything else?
Sure.
Nothing.
Okay. Bills at Cowboys. Josh Allen has had a really nice run in the back half of the season. And I know a lot of us saw it, Fabs. You were definitely on top of this, too, because you saw the schedule open up, and there were some things there. And the fact that he can run the football effectively and really is the Bills' goal line back of choice has kept his floor pretty solid. Now, this Cowboy matchup is maybe one of the tougher defenses they've faced in the last month or so. But do you feel like you can still maybe start him this week with any level of confidence?
I mean, I have him on the borderline, QB1, QB2 this week. And again, the Cowboys, this is not a team that is impenetrable when it comes to quarterback scoring fantasy points. Sam Darnold had almost 20 on us. Kirk Cousins had a strong game against us. Jeff freaking Driscoll had almost 30 against us. So it's not like we that quarterbacks can't score against us. And as you mentioned, I've said it 100 times. Josh Allen is Cam Newton. This is the guy that I feel like we can trust because of his ability to run with the football. Now, I don't know how much I trust John Brown in this game. He'd probably be playing him as a two or a flex. The Cowboys have been tough on wide receivers, so if you have depth, maybe you're going to fade him. The backs, I mean, Singletary, I guess, is a flex this week. The Cowboys have shown some vulnerability against the run. But in terms of Josh Allen, I mean, like, you know, if you're looking at Josh Allen or Carson Wentz or Josh Allen and, you know, or Nick Foles or somebody like that, or, I mean, for some reason you have Jared Goff in your roster, I don't know why you have that. I mean, I'd still be playing Josh Allen. I'd be pretty confident in it, too.
I'm with you on that. I think, you know, I think the Cowboys have done a really good job over the last couple of years, actually, against number one receivers. And I think they could definitely slow down John Brown in this game. But Josh Allen, he can, you know, his scrambling ability and his obviously huge red zone role. I know, Marcus, you were talking about this last week. He's basically their only guy that they look at when they get in close to score.
Yep.
I think Josh Allen's still a very strong QB1.
He has 5+ fantasy points as a runner in 4 straight games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're getting 4 or 5 points from the guy before he even throws a pass,
right,
you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Keeps the floor
now,
solid.
Let's talk about Dak, okay? Because we talked about this on TV yesterday.
Right.
And people, well, Bills defense. The Bills defense is overrated against quarterbacks. Why? They haven't played anybody, okay? They played Darnold in week 1. Darnold was maybe still seeing ghosts at that point. They played Eli in week 2. They played Dalton in week 3. They played Brady in week 4. And Brady's not an elite fantasy quarterback. I don't care what you say. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. In fantasy, he's not good anymore. He's just not. And he's got a history of being really bad in Buffalo. Then he played Marcus Mariota. Stinks. Then Ryan Fitzpatrick was the QB10 in a revenge game. Then he had they had the Eagles and Carson Wentz. Not an elite fantasy quarterback. Then they had Dwayne Haskins. Awful. Then they had Baker Mayfield, QB13 that week. And then they had Fitzpatrick again and Brandon Allen last week. Start Dak Prescott with confidence. Anybody?
I mean,
anybody?
I hear the words that you are saying.
Anybody? I don't make sense.
I hear the words that you are saying.
Dak's going to be fine.
I still feel like their corners can lock down on people.
Yeah. Dak's going to be fine.
And
Dak can run with it just like Josh Allen.
I just think it's going to be an average game for Dak.
I'm with you on that, too. You know, Tre'Davious White is going to shadow Amari Cooper. The Bills are very good against slot receivers. I think over the last 8 weeks, they're number 2. And fantasy points allowed. They've given him the second fewest fantasy points allowed to slot receivers. So Randall Cobb, even though he's been white hot recently, especially in PPR leagues, Cobb's been a great, pretty good receiver 3. Mm-hmm. The Bills have been really tough against the slot, really tough against tight ends. You can run on them, though, and I think this is just a really good spot for Zeke at home, 7-point favorites. Zeke's getting all the touches here, and I think we can expect a pretty good game from Zeke, but I'm with you on Dak. I'd expect more like 18 to 22 fantasy points.
Yeah, which is not the 25. I'm not expecting him to have a huge game, but I mean, right. I would be shocked if he didn't have 18.
I'm also saying I think the Bills' defense is freaking awesome. I hear you that they haven't played very good quarterbacks this year, and that's for sure. But at the same time, this defense is extremely talented.
So you mentioned Zeke, right? How are we feeling about Tony Pollard, who's getting, I mean, he's not getting a ton of snaps necessarily, but when he's on the field, they're giving him the football.
Yeah, he is. And you know, they've only given him like a couple of touches, but the last couple of weeks has been really interesting. They've used him a bit more in the passing game. He's got 4 targets now in back-to-back games. And if you're playing in a little showdown slate, I think Pollard might be a little interesting contrarian play, but he obviously, it's pretty thin too.
Right.
I mean, he would have to, you know, score, obviously rip off a big touchdown or have a big play to really pay off.
What are we thinking about Amari Cooper? Because he's got 2 straight stinkers. Darius Slay held him in check last week, of course. Gilmore held him in check, had 1 catch that was brought back because of a penalty and another one that was almost a catch but wasn't, unfortunately, because it killed the drive that the Cowboys may have potentially came back on. Still bitter about that. But now you've got Tre'Davious. And then the following week, you've got Bears at Soldier Field. And then the following week, you've got Jalen Ramsey. What are we thinking about Cooper?
I think this is a really good spot for Michael Gallup. That's where I'm going with it.
Graham Barfield just told you to sit Amari Cooper.
I'm going with it.
I guess if there's an upside, it's that Amari's not on the injury report
right
now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the last couple of weeks, he's obviously been dealing with something.
I'm playing Amari because this is, he only needs like 1.
The ceiling is too high.
Yeah, the ceiling is just, it's too high. He needs 1 play where he can absolutely, you know, change your week. in fantasy, and we've seen him do that plenty of times. And Tre'Davious White, we have obviously a lot of respect for him. But Amari Cooper is a world-class route runner, and he just needs one play to get loose.
Right. By the way, we're talking about all these receivers, and we're just going to ignore the fact that this is a Cole Beasley revenge game.
Oh, my God!
It is a Cole Beasley revenge
game
this
week. Wow, you're right.
Cole Beasley is like the wide receiver 30 right now, isn't he?
He's, you know,
he's been pretty good.
And it's funny, because I sort of liked him coming into the season as kind of a sleeper target.
Yeah.
And it took a while for this to kind of come around, but the last few weeks... I mean, we saw it a lot in the preseason, right? Josh Allen was hitting Cole Beasley on a lot of these short routes in the preseason, and it just never materialized in the regular season. But for the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's actually starting to happen a little bit.
Yep.
And this is – I know that Beasley is apparently downplaying this, but this is a revenge game, man.
It is, dude. And you know Beasley wants to beat the Cowboys.
Going back to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, dude.
It's a huge spot for him.
He might jump into the Salvation Army tub if he
knows, right? Last little bit on this game. Devin Singletary versus Frank Gore. Singletary is the guy getting the carries. He's the guy getting most of the yards. But if there's an actual running back that gets the touches near the goal line, it's Frank Gore. I mean, how are we reconciling this right now?
Singletary just has no touchdown upside.
I know.
Really. If it's not Frank Gore, it's Josh Allen.
Right.
You know, they're throwing the ball heavily to John Brown, too, in the red zone. They'll get the ball to their tight ends in the red zone. It's just, you know, unless Singletary rips off a big gain for a touchdown, it's unlikely he's going to have a huge ceiling in this game.
He's a flex. That's kind of what he's been.
Yeah.
You know, he's a flex because he's getting enough opportunities where he could be relatively productive, but he's never going to have that big, giant, you know, sort of bust-out game where he's going to give you 25 points because the opportunities near the goal line, as you mentioned, are not going to be there. And Frank Gore, who Marcus will...
He will live forever.
Exactly. Continues to, you know, vulture enough touches where Singletary's ceiling remains low.
I feel like Frank Gore is at least trying to play long enough for his kid to make it to the NFL. I mean, seriously.
Is his kid in college?
I believe so.
Is he going to the U, maybe?
You know what? He was... Yeah, I think he might be at the U right now.
Mm-hmm. No, he's at FAU.
He's at FAU.
Yeah, he's at FAU. So he's in Florida.
Florida Atlantic.
So
okay.
He's in Florida. I feel like he is trying to, like... just hang on in the league long enough for his son to be in the league and they can make play against each other or with each other or something.
Gore's right up the road.
Like the Griffies.
Gore's
right.
Gore's son is right up the road from the U, so it's same geography.
So, same area.
Wait, area. Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic's broke.
That's where Singletary went, right?
Yep, it is.
Yes.
The Owls.
Yeah. FAU Owls.
Yeah.
Almost went to college there.
And did then, you?
No. Oh. I did. I visited, and that was not.
I feel like Owl is a weird
Boca Raton
mascot.
Is not.
Like, I mean, you know that doesn't elicit any fear in an opponent.
I've always wondered
an owl.
I've always wondered an owl as a pet. I think they're badass.
No, they're cool, but like as a mascot.
Well, my college mascot ended up being the Ospreys because I went to the University of North Florida Jacksonville.
That's the least.
That's the least intimidating.
It's like that scrawny, long-legged bird, right?
Go to the basketball games, and we would swoop. That we would swoop on our opponents because that's all Ospreys do is they swoop in
the University of
on their
Hawaii.
Prey.
The University of Hawaii is the rainbows, so.
At least it's a rainbow. It makes me happy.
That's true.
It's not very intimidating.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't there an anteater?
University of Irvine.
And a banana slug? I don't even know what the hell that is.
UC Santa Cruz. It is the official state mollusk of California.
There you go.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Whittier College is the Poets, anyway.
What?
Yeah.
The Poets?
The Poets. It's a small liberal arts college just east of Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Do they have sports?
I think they have like smaller sports. They don't have football or anything like that.
I'm just laughing. I'm just thinking about the Poets playing like some intramural hockey or something like
in fact,
that.
You know what? I should take this back. They used to have football. I don't know if they still do. I know that because former U.S. President Richard Nixon went to Whittier College and was a backup.
The Poets.
Backup like offensive lineman or defensive lineman.
Maybe we can get the Poets to play the Owls.
The Poets football team.
Right. So. And least intimidating mascot matchup of all time.
This has been Mascot Talk on the Fantasy Football Podcast. Last Thanksgiving Day game for you, Saints at Falcons. One question. Any Saints that you wouldn't start?
Nope.
In this game? Because, look, we spent 2 weeks thinking, oh, maybe the Falcons have figured it out on defense. Nah. Nope, that wasn't the case. They got shredded by Jameis and the Bucks. So at this point, are there any Saints that you wouldn't consider starting?
Well, I mean, outside of the obvious guys, no.
Kamara.
I mean,
Latavius.
Like maybe standalone flex, depending on the size of your league. Jared Cook is a great start. The Saints defense is a really good start this week as well. Will Lutz is always a good start. See, I went kicker there. I mean, I don't know if I'm playing, you know, Traquan or Ted Ginn.
Yeah,
right.
Those
but
guys
I
are
mean,
always
like the big name guys. Yeah,
Ginn and
no
Smith
doubt
are always pretty.
But the bigger question mark is Atlanta because they have burned us a lot lately, unless you have Calvin Ridley. The running backs situation has been a mess. Maybe Freeman comes back, and if he does, he's an RB2 flex based on the fact that, you know, he probably catch five balls out of the backfield, mm-hmm. especially if Julio Jones isn't going to play. I don't trust Matt Ryan. We've already gone in that direction. I like Ridley, though. I like Ridley. I know he didn't have a great game against the Saints a few weeks ago, but last year he had four touchdowns against him, and he's just hot right now. Mm-hmm. He is playing at a high level right now. What about Russell Gage? What are we thinking about him?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people like kind of stumping for Russell Gage.
It's just thin. It's just, you know, if you're in PPR and you're just absolutely desperate for a receiver, he's fine. But I mean, if you're playing Russell Gage in the final week of the fantasy season and you're relying on him, you're probably not going to make the playoffs.
And also, I mean, we spent a good portion of this podcast sort of railing against Matt Ryan and his ability to get football out.
I have a different take on Matt Ryan. I think I'm going to go back to him as a QB1 this week. And here's why. Week 7.
You're going contrarian because that's what's been going on.
Yeah, no. I mean, week 7 kind of started this whole downtrend of Ryan. I mean, he had like 6 straight games of 300-plus yards, right?
Right.
Then week 7, they get destroyed by the Rams, and Ryan gets hurt in that game. He misses a week. Then they have their bye. They come out of their bye and surprisingly play extremely well on the road against the Saints in a game that they didn't really have to throw the ball very much. Then the very next week, they play the Panthers. Matt Ryan throws for 300 yards on only 31 pass attempts in a game that they again smashed, win 29-3, but he only had one touchdown. And then this past week, it was just a bad game. I mean, he just played poorly. The Falcons, you know, had a decent first quarter, then just completely fell apart, and their defense got smashed. Saints' defense is obviously a lot better, but if Marshawn Lattimore does not play again, this would be his third straight missed game with a hamstring injury. I think Matt Ryan is a really solid QB1.
I can't trust him. The offensive line has got issues. I can't trust him. I can't do it, man. He may go out and have 25. Trust issues.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I know there's some pretty good streamers out there this week, like Darnold, like Foles. We like Foles quite a bit. And even Carson Wentz is basically a streamer now. I think he's been dropped in enough leagues. But yeah. I'm going to give Ryan one more week because the Falcons are going to be trailing in this game, most likely.
All right.
At home.
And that's the argument I can make for him.
Let's play the game, Graham.
I'm into it.
Let's play the game. Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins?
Ryan, for sure.
Really? Against Seattle?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow,
for sure.
Kirk Cousins
on the road in primetime?
Yeah,
Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan.
If I remember correctly, Kirk Cousins was on primetime against the Cowboys and crushed us.
Look,
so,
I'm a Kirk Cousins stan. I'm a huge Kirk Cousins stan. He's playing extremely well.
Seattle's pass defense is not good.
No, they're not. But at the same time, the Vikings love to run the ball. You know, Kirk Cousins is always liable to have like an efficient 20.
And he might get Adam Thielen back. I don't know, man. I like Cousins better than Ryan this week. All right, Josh Allen or Ryan?
Ryan.
Wow.
Wow.
Sam Darnold or Ryan?
Ryan.
Jameis Winston or Ryan?
Jameis.
I disagree with you on every single one.
I think the
every
only
single
the,
one.
The one that's really close
Kyler
is Josh.
Kyler Murray or Ryan?
The one that's really close is Josh Allen. That one's really
Carson
close.
Wentz or Ryan?
Ryan for sure. I don't know about Kyler.
Wow.
Kyler's really close. Josh Allen and Matt Ryan's really, really close because I think Josh Allen could throw like 3 picks in this game, but also have like, you know, obviously have 40 yards and a touchdown on the ground. I like Ryan. I don't know, man. I'm into Matt Ryan this week.
Look, I'm digging it, man.
I'm into Matt Ryan.
I dig it. That's
You don't sound like you dig it.
No. I mean, it's just food for thought, right? Because, I mean, my thing was like, because I think a lot of people, you know, I know that, you know, on Fantasy Live, Adam Rank sort of rage dropped Matt Ryan. I know a lot of people are sort of at that point. Like, I'm almost at that point too. So it's like, Graham saying this is like, all right, let me stop and like, you know, deep breath.
It's just been a few weird weeks for them. He got hurt and then they had their bye. He missed a game. You know, they beat the Saints, beat the Panthers.
But he has done nothing though. Last week against the Buccaneers, he did nothing.
That's just.
But again, it's been such a strange season that you wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and has a good game against the Saints. Yeah. But I don't know, man. And if Julio's not playing, hell no.
If Julio doesn't play, then I would definitely go with
everybody. I said
with Josh Allen and Kyler and probably Wentz over Ryan
and Winston.
That would be pretty big.
And Cousins.
Yeah, because Ridley would.
Kirk Cousins has been playing at an MVP level for most of the season after that slow start where they just ran the ball all the time.
Yeah, they're still running the ball a ton though.
But Kirk Cousins is still succeeding. Let's look at Kirk Cousins' numbers real quick.
MVP that no one's watching. Kirk Cousins, a memoir.
I'm telling the truth though, right? I mean, like
he's had
over 20 points. He's had over 19 points in every game but one since week five. In that one game, he had a high completion percentage against the Redskins. It was 285 yards. He didn't have a touchdown.
Yep.
He has played Denver's defense was tough on quarterbacks. 22 points. Cowboys, almost 20. Kansas City, 21.
I'm going to say a thing.
He's not playing against teams.
I'm going to say a thing that in the presence of two Yankee fans.
Oh, boy.
Is going to draw, like, howls probably.
You ready, Ed?
Kirk Cousins is Andy Pettit.
Andy Pettit was one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time.
A dude being dragged along by better talent around him. Okay. A guy who's fine.
I got to leave.
A guy who's fine being dragged along by better talent around him.
Eddie, I got to leave.
Very good take.
The guy was one of the best postseason pitchers of all time.
That's the only thing is that he was just very clutch. He won in the postseason. If Andy Pettit only won in the regular season, then I would say it's probably accurate.
And Andy Pettit should have.
That being said, the Vikings have a good squad on paper. If Cousins leads them to the playoffs this year, then I don't know. Then maybe I'm okay with that. Because on paper, they have you could argue a top roster or the top roster. So, I mean, we'll see what happens in
January.
And
Andy Pettit, what was the year, Eddie, that he should have won the Cy Young? I think, right, he had like, I got to look at his numbers, though. I'm pretty sure he had 1 year he had, like, 21 wins, I want to say. Yeah, 21 wins, 1996. And I think it was, like, who the hell was that Blue Jays pitcher, I think, that won it? Pat Henkin or somebody like that? I can't remember. Now I got to look it up. How dare you?
See, I knew that was just going to blow up his whole day. All right, while you do that. As we wrap up this show, it is Thanksgiving, so I just want to take some time.
Yes, Pat Henkin.
I just want to take some time.
Pettit was robbed.
To just say, look, it's been a wild, crazy year. It's been an interesting fantasy season, and I'm just thankful for all you folks out there who actually listen to this podcast on a regular basis. Who respond to us, who interact with us, because really we couldn't do this without you guys. So I'm just thankful for all of you, and I appreciate you all. And I appreciate you guys here too, Mike and Graham and Eddie.
You've never called me Mike before.
I know, right?
Ever.
I know.
Ever.
It's weird. Don't
I appreciate
don't let it go to
you
your
guys
head.
Too, even though you're Andy Pettit. and it's been a lot of fun working with you guys, and to continue work with you guys for years and years, hopefully to come. It's been great.
I feel like we're signing off on something right now.
We're giving our thoughts on what we're thankful for.
Oh, okay.
Working together. We're thankful to be, able to talk about fake football for a living. And, I know you guys are not thankful to hear me whining and bitching and moaning about the Yankees or the Cowboys, but I do appreciate and I'm thankful that you deal with it.
So, yeah, that's it.
I'll be thankful when Kirk Cousins has 25 points on Monday night, too.
Yeah, we'll see how that happens.
I'll be thankful not eating my cranberry sauce this week, too.
You guys are crazy.
It's fine. You just mix it in with some stuffing, and it's all great.
Well, no,
I love Eddie's take of the cranberry sauce. It's just something you just kind of stare at on the table.
It's there. It gets kind of like decoration based.
You got to make it homemade. You make it homemade with the whole cranberries. I'm telling you.
And I like cranberries.
It'll change your world on Thanksgiving.
That's fine. It's fine.
And typically, like,
mac and cheese is also good.
When is the when do you have cranberry sauce? Thanksgiving. You have mac and cheese every day.
I never have it.
Every day.
You can have it. I mean, they sell it all year. You can have it whenever you want.
But, I mean, it's like, you and know, it's people just make fun of me for occasionally having a ginger ale. You only have ginger ale when you're on a plane, right? No. Well,
or with
they,
whiskey.
They actually do. They actually do what?
Or with whiskey.
Yeah,
with,
I don't drink alcohol.
Also, like when you have it. Also when you have the
Eddie,
stomach
yeah.
flu.
Yeah.
Is that why you're here?
And your stomach is like a little bit rumbly. Yeah, you know.
He got a little whiskey in there?
A little, just some ginger ale.
Oh, I thought you were drinking whiskey.
No, that probably doesn't help it.
Just a little too early.
Stomach bug.
A little too early for that.
It was like, you know, it's healed by whiskey.
Yeah, no, ginger ale, that will help.
But I learn new things every day from Marcus. So.
There you go. All right. I think that's it.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
We have rambled.
We'll see you on Friday.
We appreciate you, as always, downloading and listening. You know the drill. Tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, Thanksgiving dinner can be consumed in 12 minutes. Halftime is 12 minutes. This is not a coincidence. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you on Friday.